Well, as you can see from your sermon notes, I have an interesting title. It starts out, I could, and that's crossed out. Then it says, I might, and that's crossed out. Then, I should, and that's crossed out. Really, the title of the message is, I will! I will! I don't know, it's hard to get my mind around the fact, it really is, it's hard to get my mind around the fact that today is the last day of 2017. I am still someplace in August in my head. The rest of it hasn't caught up yet. Lynn and I, after our devotions one early morning, we were talking over the past year, and we both agreed it was packed full. I thought I was under the false illusion that as you got older, I'll be 69 on January 20th, I thought that things slowed down. I know it has not, but the Lord has been so good. He's given more opportunities than I've had in my entire lifetime to minister the Word of God in the past years, going to keep on going on for the Lord. There were some great highlights. After more than a dozen years, Brother Jim Krieger and I finally got through. I'd gotten through my part, and he went through his part. We finally published the defined Geneva Bible. Now, why the Geneva Bible when I'm a King James guy? Well, two reasons for that. Number one, is the fact that historically it was the Bible that most often came to this country by the pilgrims. Number two, you'd be surprised at how close it is to the King James Version of the Bible because it's translated from the same underlying text. Now, you will not find the Calvinistic notes in our defined, Krieger Brown defined King James Version of the Bible. I believe that that's why God moved on. So many people were taking the notes to be inspired of God other than just what was written there. And so one of the instructions of King James was that there was to be no notes in this except to define words and to give cross references. And I think that's exactly what's needed. There can be nothing confusing about that. And so we hold in our hands, in our King James Version of the Bible, God's inspired word for us in the English language because of an accurate translation of the underlying text. And I'll be preaching that till the day that I don't have breath anymore. So that's why you have King James Versions in the Bible. The other Bibles contain the Word of God. This is the Word of God. See, some of the other Bibles, they contain stuff that's not the Word of God, and they leave other junk, they leave other stuff out. They add their own junk, leave other stuff out. I want the pure Word of God. So anyway, there is many, many opportunities. One of the most exciting for Linda and I is we got to take a good-sized hunk of the Biblical Heritage Archive to Ireland with us. That's where many of my relatives come from. And we were able to minister in a number of different churches and speak in a pastor's conference because you would think the King James Version of the Bible coming from England that people in England would be automatically using the King James Version of the Bible. They're no better than anybody else. The pressure is on these preachers to move away from the King James Version of the Bible and come to some perverse version. But we were able to meet with a bunch of pastors and encourage them and show them why they should continue to use and promote the King James Version of the Bible. That was exciting to me. And more than 30 people here in this auditorium helped us as we went to the Waukesha Exposition Center, and the entire Bible collection was out there, and more than 500 people came through. And can you imagine this? A preacher was given 82 minutes to speak to an audience about our English Bible and why you should use a King James Version of the Bible. That was just amazing to me, and that was one of the good things. One of the bad things was, for the first time in my life, since I had my tonsils out, and I think I only spent a day in the hospital back then, but I almost bought the farm. I was 5 days in the hospital with viral flu and got myself so dehydrated that my kidneys started shutting down, and one of the things that it encouraged me about was that God still wants me around. God raised me back up, and I'm very, very grateful for that. You know, this old boneheaded guy, my wife said, you should go to the hospital, you should go to the hospital, you should go to the hospital. I said, I'm going to get better, I'm going to get better, I'm going to get better. And I'm such a cheapskate. I was starting to get weaker and weaker, and I did not want to pay the $500 to ride to the hospital in the ambulance. And so I said to my wife, while I can still walk, you better take me to the hospital. And she did, and it was a good thing. And it was a good thing. That was one of the low points, as you might think. But over the past year, you know, you always have these things. I talked about these things. There was a number of things I could have done. There were some other things I might have done. There was a lot of things I should have done. I should have sorted out and cleaned out the garage so I can get one of my cars in the garage. I don't think I can put two more things in the garage. It is stacked to the garage door. It's as high as I can reach. And it's all good stuff, but I should have cleaned out that garage. I should have cleaned out my closet. I lost 40 pounds, then I gained 20 pounds, so I'm 20 pounds to the good still, but I got a lot of stuff that just doesn't fit me anymore, and it sits in the closet. It would be better to give it to the Salvation Army or somebody else so that they could use it. And, you know, another thing I could have done, and it would have been better for me, I should have ridden my bicycle more. I didn't even get to, there's some summers that I had gotten 600 miles in. I don't think I even got 100 miles in on my bicycle this year. I could have done that. Well, let me just tell you something. Regardless of what your coulda, woulda, shouldas have been, 2017 is now past. And there's no use crying over spilt milk. Hindsight, friends, hindsight is 100%. But you can't go back and reclaim any of it. So what can you do? Well, you can make plans for 2018. Now, I am going to be focusing on some I wills, and it's nothing like cleaning out the garage. It's nothing like cleaning out your closet or any of that sort of things. I am going to be talking about I wills that are going to, I don't know, strengthen your relationship with the Lord. It's going to deepen your relationship with the Lord. And we're going to look at the psalmist. Now, we don't know who wrote the 119th Psalm. Some people say David did, but there's no indication in the psalm, though the psalmist refers to himself a lot, there's no indication. In other psalms, there's an indication of who wrote it. But in Psalm 119, there's no indication who wrote that psalm, but there's a bunch of good I wills that if we're wise, we will try and incorporate these in our lives in 2018. Now, the 119th Psalm, I think, is quite amazing. So before I go on to the I wills, there's some things I'd like to share with you. I don't think any of you have to be told this, but the 119th Psalm is the longest of all of the chapters in the Bible. There's 176 verses. But the 119th Psalm is an acrostic. You know what an acrostic is? You start with letters like A, B, C, D, but it's the Hebrew letters in the 119th Psalm. And the Hebrew letters of the 119th Psalm are Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Daleth, and He. And so it goes down the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters or 22 consonants in the Hebrew alphabet. And each verse in the section start with the A, for instance, the Aleph. All the verses there in the eight verses in 1 through 8, they begin with the Hebrew letter Aleph. And so they go down in B, Bet, and so on through the thing. It's an acrostic all through there. Jews wrote this way because it helped them to memorize things much easier. As I mentioned, we don't know who wrote the psalm, but we do know this. I can just tell you this, that whoever wrote the psalm, whether it's David or somebody else, there's a lot of people who didn't like what he wrote, and he was oppressed, he was persecuted. because of living for the Lord and doing what God told him to do. I've given you some verses there. It makes a good study this week while you're reading through the next 22 days, the 119th Psalm. Maybe you want to look those up. But he didn't care. He said, I don't care what it costs me. I don't care how they persecute me. I don't care how they threaten my life. I am going to live for the Lord. And that's a good place for us to start. It is becoming increasingly unpopular in the United States of America for to take a public stand for the Lord. People where you work don't like it, and they can try and make something out of it and cause you a problem. There's people who say, well, you believe what you want to believe on Sunday, but don't put it on us. Hogwash! We're supposed to live, we're supposed to walk, we're supposed to behave as Christians 365 and a quarter days a year, 364 and a quarter days a year. We're supposed to live for the Lord. And I believe that one of the reasons we're having so much problem in America today is because people have backed off from being the salt and light in their culture that they should be. We need to be like the psalmist right now, and though he was persecuted, and though he was harassed for living for the Lord and standing for the Lord's word, he says, I am going to do it. I will do it. And that's what this is all about when we get there to be able to look about that. I find it very interesting as well. Turn with me in your Bibles to the 119th Psalm, if you would. Because every verse in the 119th Psalm, except five of them, they mention the Word of God in one way or another. The five verses that don't, I'll just let you know what they are. Psalm 119, we get down to verse 84. It says, how many are the days of thy servants? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? That one does not mention the word of God. If we look down to verse 90, it says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. That doesn't mention the word of the Lord. Then, if you would, you can slip down to verse 121 and 122, the next two. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. It says, be a surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. And finally, the last one that doesn't mention it is Psalm 132. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. As thou hast, as thou usest to do, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Now, God is referred to in every verse. And if you want to do a study, you probably going to end up being another sermon in 2018, but the number 8 is stamped all over the 119th Psalm. Each section has 8 verses. You'll find that there are 8 special names of God listed in the 119th Psalm. There are 8 symbols of God's word given in the 119th Psalm. Believers are charged with 8 responsibilities to the word in the 119th Psalm. The word 8 in Hebrew literature means abundance and more than enough. The number 8, the number 8 is the number of new beginnings. And basically what you have here is that the 119th Psalm is saying God's word is enough. If you have the scriptures, that's all you need to live a life of godliness, if you read them and do them. The word of God is enough. I want to hear you say that. The word of God is enough. One more time. The word of God is enough. If we'd get that in our boneheads, mine included, if we'd get that in our boneheads, we'd be a whole lot better off. Now, let's get down to the I wills of the 119th Psalm. We've got to back up just a little bit and look at Psalm 119, verse 7. Verse 7. It says this, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I'm going to read that again. I will praise thee with upright heart when I shall have learned thy upright judgments. Learning about the Lord and living for the Lord does something for us. And here's what it does. It brings us into fellowship with the Lord. And when we are in the place of fellowship with the Lord, that puts us in line for blessings. There's lots of benefits for being a believer and living in fellowship with the Lord, is there not? And when we look at those benefits and the benefits that we have, man, I'm thankful that all of my sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. I'm thankful that I can come into the presence of the Lord at any moment, any time, any place of the day or the night. I am thankful that the Lord has His Holy Spirit in me. And I am so thankful that when I don't know how to pray, that the Holy Spirit goes into action because we know not how we should pray and what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. And you know what? That ought to cause us to praise the Lord. But too often, and myself included, too often, we grumble about our current problems. Hey, in this world, Jesus said we're going to have tribulations. Problems are a part of this world. I've run across some problems this week, probably run across some next week. If you haven't had any, praise God, but you're going to have some in 2018. I don't care who you are. They're going to be there. But you know what? Our current troubles, they aren't anything in light of what the Lord has for us with an inheritance that's indestructible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for us. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, it says, Colossians 3, 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. In other words, if you're a believer, this is talking to you. It says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2, here it is. Set your affections, set your desires, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. You know what? If you're so focused with the things of the earth, somebody says, oh, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. No, most of us are so earthly minded, we're very little heavenly good to the Father because we're just so earthly minded that we're all in a tizzy, all upset. We're looking at the gloom and the doom and saying, oh, I'm probably not going to get more tax money back because the liberals say that, it's going to cost $1 trillion more and it's not going to help anybody, only the rich. You know what? You know what I think about that? Forget it. What good is that? The law is passed. What can I do about it? Regardless of what happens, I don't think that that's what's going to happen. But you know what? You try and reach your neighbor next door who doesn't know Jesus Christ. You plan now to go with us knocking on doors on Thursday when the weather gets nice again in, I don't know, March or May, whenever preacher starts it again, but we try and get around to every house every 2 years in our area. You get the word of God into your life. You know what? When the taxes come, I'm going to pay them, whether they're more, whether they're less. So quit getting your mind all focused on those things. Donald Trump tweeted again. Well, so what? Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Now listen to this. For ye are dead. So what? I'm alive. No, no, if you're a believer, you're dead in Christ. Ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Now watch this. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him. Make up your mind right now. I will praise the Lord in 2018. I will praise the Lord in 2018. We should praise the Lord for what he has done for us materially. We should praise the Lord for what he has done for us spiritually. We should praise the Lord for what he's done for us domestically. But we should praise the Lord for what he has prepared for us in future reward for them that love him. The suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that will follow. Amen? A lot of times we get our roots so deep down in here. Some of us, if this was cement, some of us are like knee deep in the cement. Yeah, I'm going to do for the Lord, except I'm knee deep in cement because of all the cares of this world. You know what the cares of the world does? What the cares of the world does to me, because I get them sometimes to get my mind and my heart off of Christ, it decimates my spiritual service when I'm all wrapped up in the cares of this world. It does the same thing to you. I will praise the Lord more in 2018. Let's move on to the second one. There's lots of verses. I'm just picking out three of them. Psalm 119, in verse 15, it says this, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Now look down at verse 48. It says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Now verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. I will meditate in thy precepts. When you're not focused on your work, you are running a milling machine. When you're running the milling machine, I want you to be focused on your milling machine, not have your mind off some other place. If you're a carpenter and you're cutting something, I don't want you to be thinking about something, or you'll look like our former pastor who did lose several of his fingers in a saw years and years and years ago. But when you're not focusing on your work, what occupies your mind? I want to tell you something. There was a recent study that's done, and it's quite alarming to me. And in the recent study that was done, it was discovered that young adults spend about 5 hours per day on their smartphones. 5 hours per day on their smartphones. Texting, Googling, Facebooking, what is it? Pinteresting, I don't know what all that is. Tweeting, barking, is there something that barks? They got something that tweets. I start a new one called barking, I don't know. And it's not just young people either. How much time do you spend watching TV? I'm serious now. I'm asking you to think about this. Video games, pondering sports, politics. I have turning off Fox News a whole lot more than I'm listening to it these days. Reading the newspaper, magazines, Facebooking. But then, how much time do you honestly now? How much time do you spend actually in God's Word or things related to spiritual issues? I'm gonna get right down with it, we need to meditate more on God's Word in 2018. You know what I did? I paid $20 to get Alexander Scorby on. I like to hear Alexander Scorby read. He's got that English accent, and though he pronounces some of the words screwball, when I get into some of those Old Testament words, I just take a shot at it myself because I know that you don't know any more about them than I do, so whatever, sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. But you know what? It makes it real nice, so when I'm traveling, I can listen to Alexander Scorby, and you can listen to the Bible. Do you know that you can download Christian biographies on your telephone, so in your free time? Do you know you can get good, solid Christian? I'm not talking about the Christian Rocky junk, but I got some really good stuff from the colleges around that have good, solid Christian music. And you can speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs during that time instead of having to watch the TV, instead of Facebooking, instead of, you know, I was talking to my wife the other day. I want to read as a part of our expanding our devotional life this year. Some Christian biographies of great Christians. You know what? Meditate. And remember that spiritual, biblical meditation is not like the world's meditation. Just please remember that. In the world's meditation, I've done this to you before, but the world's meditation is trying to clear your mind so you can get in touch with the higher powers. And so they give you some kind of a mantra, a word, you know, like bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, 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 until your eyes cross and your mind goes numb, and then the idle mind is the devil's workshop. Then the devil fills the occupation. Biblical meditation is not like that at all. It is taking a portion of Scripture and getting it in your head until it is in your head, and you squeeze out the juice from that portion of Scripture. And that's why preaching through the book of Daniel, I've listened now through the book of Daniel at least 8 times and read through it completely at least 4 times, because I want to have it in my head when I'm preaching to you on what the Lord God says. But you know what? It isn't going to matter that the Green Bay Packers aren't going to make it to the whatever they're supposed to make it to this year. And I can't even think of I guess Wisconsin is moving on or something like that. But you know what? In light of eternity, I'm not saying you can't have enjoyment. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that enjoyment and personal pleasure is way outweighing our intake of the Word of God. The Word of God is so infinitesimal. If you did a equation, boy, there's one good one for a math brain. If you have an equation and you looked at how much secular stuff you get in your head in your leisure time compared to how much biblical stuff you get in your leisure time. By the way, you can download the sermons that you missed from Sermon Audio. We have 2,000 sermons on there that I've preached since 2002. Or if you don't like them, there's other good preachers. You can download their sermons and listen to them and learn some things too. All I'm pleading with you about is make the choice. Make up your mind. I will meditate on God's Word more in 2018. That's what the psalmist says. You know what? There's benefits to biblical meditation. You realize that? Joshua 1:8 says that if you meditate on God's Word, you'll make your way prosperous. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here's the result. And he will be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff that the wind drives away. So do you want chaff or prosperity? And that is tied, not what I said, it's tied to our meditating on God's word. It's tied to that. I will meditate. I will meditate on God's word more in 2018. Let's look at verse 16 of Psalm 119. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I was shocked when I looked up the word delight. It means to skip and to jump with joy. It means to take great delight in. It's, woo! Is that neat? They say, are you going charismatic? Not on your life. But we are supposed to delight. Delight in God. You know, it's an interesting exercise to trace the word delight. Another study you could do. The word delight or delights is found in verse 16, 24, 35, 47, 70, 77, and 92, 143, and 174. You'll find that each reference relates to being excited about God's word. Why in the world, is the psalmist excited about God's word? I'll tell you why. Because God's word is true, and every one of his righteous judgments endure for how long?
Ever.
Forever. Amen. Listen, friends. When you build your life on God's word, it is lasting. It is lasting. That's why he delights. The psalmist found something for sure. I've used this illustration before. I was researching because the church would give me a little money each year, and so I wanted to put it for retirement in something, so I put it into something, even the name sound good, Strong Fund. Lost 50% of it in that crash. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Listen, friends. Lynn and I were doing our Saturday devotional. Storms are going to come. But if you build your life on the Bible, the bedrock of the Bible, you'll be standing when the storms pass. This is what we read in Psalm 47 and following in our Saturday devotion. We're going through Luke 6, the entire chapter. It says, whosoever cometh to me, our Lord says, and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which buildeth a house and diggeth deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation buildeth a house upon the earth. He just pours a slab, just puts it on top of the ground, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that was great. When you delight in God's word, it's like digging the foundation and getting your life down to the rock. It gives your life stability. It gives your life stability. I'm thankful for the stability that is in the Lord when you delight in the Lord. It might be hard to grasp, but I encourage you to delight more in the Word, delight more in the Lord in 2018. Got to move along. Verse 32. I will run. I will run the way of thy commandments. It says, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Hey, let me just put it real simply to you. You have the opportunity of running two races in 2018. You can run your own race. Many Christians, and I try and help so many Christians who've been running their own race, and you know what happens? They trip and they fall and they flop. But they're running their own race. They're doing their own thing. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You can run your own race, but it'll have disastrous consequences. It'll have... Lord, don't bother me. I'm doing my own thing right now. I'm just doing it my way. Just don't bother me, Lord. I think that's funny. I was going down the road one day or down the sidewalk one day, and my brain was occupied. I'm sure it was something very important. Had to be preacher again. Right in the middle of there was a nice little flower pot around a tall light post. I about messed up their flowers because I walked right into it, about went headlong into the flowers because I was doing my own thing. I was not watching. I love to watch the ones that I see from time to time, people who are not watching as they're walking in the mall, and you know, and they're texting like this. Have you ever seen the one where the guy falls headlong into the fountain? That is so funny. But here's the deal. You can run your own race, or you can run the Lord's race. You can run the race that is set before you by the Lord, as Hebrews chapter 12, 1 says. It is not always the easiest race to run. But the thing about it is when you run the Lord's race, Psalm 37, 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Here's the deal. When you're running the Lord's race, the Lord is running before you and leading. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He says, come on, this way, come on, run, come on, come on, keep up with me. Running the Lord's race, despite some of the times that it's not the easiest course because we like to be lazy, we like to sit in the shade and sip lemonade, we don't, you know, like to just take thine ease. But that ends up in disaster. But when you're running the Lord's race, God goes before you, He draws near to you, He strengthens you, He teaches you, and there are eternal benefits for running the Lord's race. So, Decide right now that I will run the race that the Lord has set before me. I will run the race that the Lord has set before me. Finally, the last of the I wills that we'll be looking at, there are several more, but the last ones that we'll be looking at is in verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed. Truth is, we are not saved to keep silent. I want you to say that. We are not saved to keep silent. One more time. We are not saved to keep silent. If that were the case, then we'd have got saved and been taken right to heaven. Oh, you know how the New Testament church spread? It was a great time of persecution. People were losing their lives. They were losing their property. And you know what? So people fled, and you know when they fled, they went everywhere sharing the gospel. You know how the gospel is spread? God doesn't use rats. God doesn't use dogs. God normally doesn't even use angels. He's depending upon us. I will speak. Now, most of us can drum up enough courage to speak to our peers about the gospel. Some of you guys got, you know, lace sewed on the bottom of your trousers so you don't even speak to those that you work with or something like that. But most of us can drum up enough fortitude to speak to our peers about the gospel in one way or the other. But the author of this psalm says, I want to be bold. And even my superiors, I want to share the gospel with. Why shouldn't we share the good news? Why wouldn't we share the good news? Well, somebody might think I'm a little bit funny. I got lots of people who think I'm funny. Got one of my roommates that I went to college, I told you about him. He said, oh, you've gone funny on us, haven't you? What he meant by that is, early on in college, I decided I wasn't going to be a neo-evangelical. I was going to be a fundamentalist. Are you one of those funny mentalists? You're a nut. Yeah, at least I'm screwed onto the right bolt. But you see, if you had the cure to cancer, wouldn't you tell anybody and everybody who had cancer what the cure is? I wouldn't even charge them for it. If God revealed it to you, you had cancer, you were cured of cancer. In your earthen vessel, you have a treasure that'll keep people out of hell. Speak it! I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. You have nothing to be ashamed about. I was a sinner. I was lost. I was headed to hell. Jesus saved my soul, and now I have a promised home with him for all of eternity. Amen. Now, if they reject it, so be it. What I want to see is there a tract in yours, Michael, right there? Every week in these little tract racks here, every week these little tracts are put in there. Every week, about 2/3 of them are left. Would you say about that, Jim, or more? Okay, sometimes less, maybe half to 2/3. But you know what? I would like to see you pull these out. And if the person doesn't pull, You don't have to just take one. I would be glad if you scoured the auditorium and pulled out all of these, because there should be at least one, two, or three people that you can pull that out and hand a gospel tract to during the week. I mean, we are supposed to be a lighthouse in this dark world. I grab a gob of things. I have them in my car. I have them in my van. This is a suit that's just been cleaned, but usually I have a pack of tracks in here. I have a pack of tracks in my briefcase. We need to look for opportunities and pray for opportunities to get the gospel out to other people. I will speak. How many of you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because somebody verbally spoke to you, or you listened to a verbal message on the radio, or you listened to a sermon verbally being spoke? How many of you came to know Christ because of that? Take a peek. Take a peek. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that somebody did it? If we want more people at First Baptist Church, I mean, I'm awful thankful for the door-to-door program. But you know, we were blessed this last year. I think three people came to know Christ when we knocked on hundreds of doors. But you know, the people that you're in contact with and speak to, they're more likely to listen to you than somebody who comes knocking at their door. I'm not going to quit doing that, but I'm just saying, I will speak up for the Lord. Write gospel letters. Give out gospel tracts. More than you did last year. Maybe you didn't do it last year. Be a verbal witness more. And all this stuff isn't my opinion. I'm going to review here and then we're going to be done. It isn't my opinion. It's what this psalmist said, I will do. Day by day. He said, that's what I'm going to do. We don't know whether it was written at the beginning of a new year or not. Doesn't matter. But these are things that I believe, since the Bible is written by inspiration of God, if it was good for the psalmist, I think it's good for me. I think it's good for you. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed as I...